Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, Introduction to Finance.
Finance is a lot of things, but what it is not is accounting. You will hear me make jokes about accountants. Now, I make these jokes, and then someone tells the accounting people in the College of Business what I said, and then they are disrespecting me. They bark at me from the end of the hallway because they don't want to get too close to me because they're afraid I'll get my Professor C cooties on them or something. I don't know. But here's the thing is, we use accounting information products, but we have to change them. We have to fix them. You see, accounting must, by its rules, use historical information. It has to have paper receipts, documentation of what has happened. In finance, we don't care really about what has happened. We need to know what is going to happen. In order for us to be able to value a firm, to know where the best markets are, to understand what is going to happen, we cannot care too much about the past. Past is not prologue. It can give us some indications of where we're going, but it is not the future. Long ago, the first knowledge we have of civilizations, like the Greeks and before them the Achaemenids, they saw the future as coming from behind us and emerging in our view. It was only much later that we began to see that we were running to the future. We weren't standing there with the past coming by us to become the future. We were running to it. In a sense, we were creating it. And that's what we do in finance. We have to see the future. And that's the only way that we... Look, the old saying, how do you predict the future best? Well, you create it. And so, in our view, expectations are what matter. The expected future value of cash flows, the expected revenues for next year, the expected costs for the next five-year budget cycle, the expected resources that we can get out of that mine, or the expected productivity we can get out of the last worker we hire. We cannot give a rat's ass about what their glory days were. Hell, I can tell you Sears was the most incredible company in the world at one time. Heck, they even created a catalog. No one had ever even imagined a catalog until they did it. And now look at them. They died. Because you live in the past. You are going to die in the ashes of it. Move forward. And that's what we do in finance, is we look at future. And the future is not certain. It is a dark crystal ball into which we look with our best resources and our best understandings. We don't have feelings about the future. We don't have beliefs about the future. We have judgments about it. We have discernible theory applied to the real world to tell us what will happen next. That's what we do in finance. On the ground, accountants care about profit. And I'll tell you right now, I don't give a rat's ass about profit. Profit means nothing. Famous from my world of consulting many years ago, there was a real good turnaround specialist. He went to a board of directors of a company that was struggling, and they brought him in to try to do a turnaround. He said to the board of directors, he said, "Gentlemen, I can make this company profitable every year from now on until the year when you go out of business." That's the reality of it. You see, profit means nothing to us. Free cash flow is what matters to us. Free cash flow, we have to take the accounting statements and we have to twist them, pull things out, put things in, and then turn them around and get down to this place where we see how much money, cash, there is. And then we project out. How much cash will we have next year? Okay, how much cash after that? Okay, here's a period when we'll have negative cash, so we're going to have to find financing. We look at a project. What's its free cash flow profile look like? Okay, the internal rate of return is going to be 14% on this project. We can get capital at 12%, so it's a go. We don't even look at interest expense because that's something that we see when we've got free cash flow. How much interest can we afford? Great example of that. Tesla, the love child of Wall Street, run by a psychopathic baked ham. Comes out and he was so baked that one day that he almost passed out on stage. His company is a joke. Oh, but it's profitable. Go down to the bottom line and guess what you see? Negative $9 billion in free cash flow? No, that's not just a theoretical number. That means that that gap has to be filled. That's not some object that that we can talk about. You got to find that money because that was payrolls. That was payments on interest. That was payments of suppliers. That's negative free cash flow. It's real. And so that's why we know that those Wall Street boys are shoveling money in the back butt door of that company because they have put so much into it that if that thing goes to hell, then they go to hell and Manhattan looks like a rubble field. That's what we know. Oh, but it's a great investment. Well, of course it is. You see, because that's short run. We're in for the long haul in finance. That's what we do. Tell you a story. When I was, I've run businesses for many years, most of them into the ground, mind you, but it was an interesting thing that one night I was sitting in my office, it was a Thursday night, and I was writing the checks for payroll. And I had, after I'd written the last check, I still had about $5 and change in the checking account for me. You see, there's the thing. It was the company was profitable on paper. Darn profitable. Hell, the things I was doing. But at the same time, I was dying. I was a tree that was completely rotted on the inside. And that was the measure. Because eventually the phone rang, ring, ring, and I answered it. It was Clueville saying, "Get a clue. You're taking all this risk, and what are you making for that risk? $5. And I said, "Yeah, but that's enough for a Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's." And they said, "Yeah, but you can't get dessert." Damn. You understand. Free cash flow is what we care about. I don't care about profit. Now, this takes us back to the next thing, revenue. Revenue in accounting is a myth. Let me tell you about, I'm an artist. I sell my artworks at these art shows all over the country. It's expensive, and I have people who just go in and I can tell. I've got a mark. That lady is standing there, and she's in love with this. She found one there that, oh my God, I got to have. And she looked at the price tag, and it was $800. I said, "You like that, don't you?" "Yes." Of course, I do this, the brooding artist, I'm hurting inside, but I still reach out to people to share my dark feelings and my need to be loved. And I said, "Okay, I've got financing. $200 now, and then the rest on credit. Payments, equal payments over 12 months. Her eyes just lit up. "Really? Yes. Do you do this for everyone?" "Well, just for some people who really appreciate my art, ma'am." On my income statement, it said $800. But I didn't have any $800. I had $200. The rest was an increase in net working capital. My accounts receivable went up by $600. So in other words, it wasn't 800. It was 800 minus the change in net operating working capital. So I had 800 minus 600 free cash flow. But the accounting statement said 800. And I paid tax on 800, even though it wasn't 800. You see, the revenue that is on the financial statements is a lie. Let's talk about cost. I used to pay my bills right on time. I don't anymore because I can say I paid them, and that makes my taxable income, my pre-tax, go down. But I didn't really pay it. You see, this is the thing that goes with this, is that these costs in accounting are on their front face not correct. And then it gets even worse because, you see, in finance, we direct costs are really not a big thing compared to opportunity costs. Opportunity cost is the cost of the best foregone alternative. And opportunity cost is oftentimes the dominant cost. You graduated. You decided that you would major in finance. You came to the dark side. I'm not supposed to say that. I said come to the dark side. Last semester, I was taken before Title IX because someone said I made her uncomfortable. She thought I was talking about getting her joining a satanic cult. Yes, that happened. But I'm going to say it again. You came to the dark side, and you joined, majored in finance, and I was so excited. Any one of them is fine. Sometimes I talk to people in the chat. Anyone is fine. But, anyway, where was I? Oh. We get you a job. We write recommendations. We introduce you to hiring at State Barn, and you got yourself a $60,000 a year job there. Well, you graduated. Yeah. And I'll get into this one. Thank you for warning me. I run over my time because I took that time at the beginning. So anyway, we're going to thank you for doing this with me, and we will get back to it on Wednesday. And I promise I'll keep to the lecture time. Someone flag me maybe about 5 minutes before the lecture's over and yell at me because I am so not used to this 50-minute thing. But that's all I have for you today, and I hope you don't run away and you'll be here on Wednesday. I thank you for joining me. We gone.